Hebrews chapter 12. Last Sunday, we looked at the first few verses and talked about the importance of continuing to run the race. The topic this morning is not a popular one, but it's an important one, and the word is found in verse 7. He says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 7, if ye endure chastening. We're going to talk about that a little bit this morning, the chastening of the Lord. Probably everyone here has had an occasion where somebody came to you and said, you're wrong. We don't like that, do we? Some people, you can't tell them that. They'll tell you immediately why you're the one that's wrong when they're the one that's right. And even as a pastor, sometimes I find myself confronting people and telling them from the Word of God, that's not right. And some people will listen and some people won't. Now, you should be familiar with the fact that the Jews, the nation of Israel, the Hebrew folks, are very proud people. They didn't like to be told they were wrong. And Paul just finished spending 11 chapters telling a large number of Jewish Christians, you're wrong to consider going back. You're wrong to consider replacing the Lord Jesus Christ with those old Hebrew sacrifices from the Old Testament. And so when you see this discussion about chastening in Hebrews chapter 12, it makes perfect sense that he's telling them, you need to listen. You need to understand. Folks, the Word of God's always right. Amen? When the Word of God says it, that settles it. And so there is a type of chastening simply in correction. And then there is the chastening that you and I are familiar with, that we all experienced as children, and that now we chasten our children. And the word chastening we'll look at in just a minute in the Bible. It has a thought of scourging. It also has a thought of inflicting, let's say, discomfort, with the idea that we learn by correction sometimes what we can't learn any other way. General Patton from the Second World War wrote a book. It was just his memoirs of his battles, and it's a very, very good book. And he mentioned something about discipline among soldiers. He said, soldiers want to excel. Sometimes they need discipline to allow them to excel as much as they would like to. And he understood the importance of discipline. We know what it means to discipline our children. And folks, God knows what it means to discipline His children. Amen? Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read chapter 12 from the book of Hebrews, verses 4 through 11. And we will look at the subject of the chastening of the Lord. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 4, ye have not resisted unto blood striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening, for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, as your children, we desire to understand your chastening in a more thorough way. We need to understand that we must accept it, that it's good for us. Lord, it's not joyous, as the Bible says, at the time when it takes place, but Lord, we know that afterward it produces a good result. And so, Lord, we would say to you cautiously but reverently that If we need to be chastened, we ask that you would do that. And Lord, we do ask that you do whatever is necessary to shape us and mold us and make us what you want us to be. Lord, there are millions, literally billions of lost souls around the world that need to hear the gospel. There are people in our neighborhoods, in our families, in our workplaces that need to hear the gospel, that need to see that you have changed us and made us more like the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they would ask that question of the hope that lies within us. Lord, I ask you today, please work in this service, please work in our hearts, please do what you would desire to do to make us more like you. We thank you for loving us enough to work in our hearts and to change us. We ask if there's one here that is not saved today, that they would receive Christ as Savior. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to read you some verses, mostly from the Old Testament. I'd like to ask you, if you would, to turn to some of these with me. So put your finger here in Hebrews chapter 12, and let's go back, first of all, to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, and I would, as you're turning there, just remind you that we've already read from Proverbs, because verse 5 and 6 are a direct quote from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. But there are a number of times in the Bible where chastening is mentioned, and the first of those that we're going to turn to is in Deuteronomy chapter 8, or one of the first of those, I should say, and chapter 8 and verse 5. Of course, we're looking at the book of Deuteronomy, which is the dealing with that generation that was going to take the promised land. And those people had been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, and they had children, and these are their children being written to here. And God's telling them a few things about what he's done with them during that time. He fed them in verse 3 with manna. And then there's an incredibly important statement there in Deuteronomy 8:3. It says he made them to know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Folks, words are important. Amen? Every word. And when we read the Word of God, that's why we're very particular to use an accurate, inspired translation that also has the stamps of approval from the generations and the centuries beyond or before us, which is the authorized version of the Bible, because every word matters. Every word matters. But in verse 5, he says this, that thou also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore, verse 6, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God. Now we understand chastening is intended to cause us to obey, to help us to understand there are consequences for disobedience. Let's move forward to Psalm 94. Psalm 94. I just want to read you a few verses here out of the Old Testament to solidify what we're going to see in Hebrews here in just a minute. Psalm 94. Psalm 94 and verse 12. The Bible says, blessed. That word blessed means happy. Now, when we're being chastened, we don't quite see it that way sometimes, but afterwards we should. Blessed is the man whom thou chasteneth, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. Chastening is evidence that we're a child of God, as we saw in Hebrews, and it is a source of happiness that God would teach us how to obey him. Now, just a little bit further, Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. We already saw the comparison of this in Hebrews, where the Lord compares the chastening of earthly fathers to his chastening. And now we see that again just the other way around in Proverbs chapter 13. This is a good verse for those of us that have children. Verse 24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. And that word betimes means quickly or early or before it's too late. One more chapter, or a few, Proverbs 19. Flip over a couple of chapters to Proverbs 19. Same thought again. Somebody says the Bible doesn't teach that we should paddle our children. Well, I would humbly disagree based on some of these verses. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 18. Proverbs 19, 18. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Chasten thy son while there is hope. You know, if you don't correct your child, at some point in time, it'll be too late. And aren't you glad we had parents that loved us and corrected us? Amen? And I had a father like that. He's with the Lord now. I'm going to read you a few more. I'm not going to ask you to turn to all these for the sake of time. Go ahead and go back to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read you about three more verses here. And then we'll come back to Hebrews and see a few things about chastening. And Hebrews, and first of all, I'll just read to you out of 1 Corinthians 11. The Bible says, when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And then Revelation 3:19 says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. You know, someone said, falsely, I should mention, someone said, well, once you get saved, it doesn't matter how you behave because Christ died for your sins. If that's the trick case, why would God chasten us if it doesn't matter anymore? Amen? No, on the contrary, as we quite often point out, the lie that the devil is telling people today is that you can get saved and you can live any way you want. Let's try this. Does your father or your mother that loves you let you live any way you want? We have a little baby here in the auditorium today, and we have a grandfather. Richard came from North Carolina to see this baby, and I know these folks that are going to raise this child well enough to know that when that child is disobedient, that they're going to teach that child the right way. Amen? And we would expect that. When a little child is growing up, the Bible says foolishness is bound up in their heart, but that the rod of correction can drive it far from them. And so if a earthly parent would, as Hebrews has mentioned here, would discipline their children, don't we expect God to discipline us? Now, when it's happening, it's no fun. Have you been there? Amen? You know what I'm talking about. When God chastens you and you know it, there are two or three things that happen. First of all, you feel foolish for being disobedient. And you wish you hadn't have done it. And then secondly, you feel kind of humbled that God deals with you that way. And then ultimately, when it's all over with, you look back at it and you're glad it's over. And if you've been saved for very long, you know what I'm talking about. There have been times when, if you are a child of God, there have been times when you disobeyed God and God brought you the consequences. I've seen that happen as a pastor more times than I can count. We visited a fellow one night, and it just happened to know that the fellow wasn't paying tithe. And he said, you know, a terrible thing happened. I got caught driving in the commuter lane over here. What do they call that thing? HOV lane. My Alzheimer's is kicking in here. In the HOV lane, I got caught in that drive. He said, do you know the fine for driving by yourself in that thing is $400? No, I never did know that. I never have driven in there by myself. But I know this, if you don't want to give God the tithe, he'll find another way to take it. I talked to some folks in Maryland that were going through some grievous times in their family. And here's where it came from. They didn't have much interest, if any, in being faithful to church. They would come to church now and then and not very often. And they wouldn't require their children to be in church. And all of a sudden, the children rebelled. And as a kind person, I did not rub their nose in it, but I thought to myself, you know, if they'd have had those children in church faithfully and taught them the things of God, maybe that wouldn't have happened. Amen? So there are consequences for our disobedience. And just make it real plain, folks, God will punish us when we are out of order. Why? Because he doesn't love us? No, because he does love us. Amen? And that's okay. And so as he writes here to the Hebrews, he reminds them, don't take this in the wrong way. God's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to help you. Chastening is a form of instruction. It's a consequence of disobedience. It's an attempt to redirect a wayward child. And it works very simply. And the way it works is when you are tempted to disobey again, you stop and you think to yourself, I remember what happened the last time I did that. God chastened me and it hurt. I'm not going to do that again. That's not the only way God deals with us. The Holy Spirit works in our hearts all the time. And when you and I are willing to be repentant and to settle our account with God on a regular basis, the Bible says if we will confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? So stay on your knees in prayer and stay right with God. And just as a child that comes to a parent and says, I'm sorry I did wrong, you can anticipate a lot less severe punishment in that circumstance than when you put your finger in your dad's face and say, I don't care. Now you're in trouble. If you think that gets you in trouble with dad, try doing that with God sometime. Now, I would remind you of something. There are people who are the children of God, and there are people who are not. When I was raising younger children and they were in a crowd of other children, if my children disobeyed, I would deal with them. But if somebody else's children disobeyed, I realized I didn't have the authority to correct them, and also it probably wasn't my place to do so. I might, you know, if it really got bad, I might step in a little bit, but by and large, my children are the one that I'm going to take care of and deal with and correct and keep on the right path. And it's the same way with God. If you're a child of God, you will know chastening. And if you can be wicked and God doesn't do anything about it, that should scare you to death. Because that means you're not a child of God. Aren't you glad you're a child of God? Aren't you glad He loves you enough to correct you? Amen. Chastening, it's an act of love by a father who cares. It's protection from the consequences of disobedience if we continue to disobey. Probably every parent here at some point in time has taught their little children, don't put your hands near the stove. When we're cooking, don't go near the stove and don't reach up and put your hands on the stove. And probably all of us here, if you've got little children, you're learning that lesson. When you have a pan of hot water on the stove, you turn the handle off to the side. Because you wouldn't want a little child to reach up there. And I've seen people that have those kind of scars. There were a little child reached up and grabbed a hot pan of water and it poured on their arm and burned them permanently. So rather than have them suffer that horrible disfigurement of being burned by a pan of hot water, when the child reaches up in the stove, we might swat their hand. And they'll probably cry and they'd probably make a real pouty face and not understand why you would do that. We do that because we don't want them to be hurt worse. Amen? It's the very same thing God does with us. So let's look at these. I'll just show you three or four things about the chastening of the Lord that He wants them to know and wants us to know as well. And they won't take very long. We'll be done by 12, I expect. But anyway, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 12 for a minute. Look at verse 5. The first thing He says to them in verse 5 is, ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Now, He's about to quote Proverbs 3, 11 through 12. But that's an interesting thing that He says to them. You forgot something that God told you. Just a thought. You know, a good way to avoid chastening? Stay in the Word of God. Amen? You have a devotion in the morning. You're reading your Bible and God reminds you of something. It happens all the time. The devotion speaks to you and God gives you certain direction. Once in a while, people in the church send me verses by text. And they're kind to do that. Anytime I see something in the Bible, I always ask myself the question, what's God saying to me? Amen? Because folks, this is not somebody else's Bible. This is my Bible. And that doesn't mean I'm perfect. That doesn't mean I don't sin. But what it does mean is I have a God who talks to me. And when you listen to your Father in heaven, He can correct you in the Word of God rather than having to correct you with some circumstances because you won't listen to the Word of God. And these folks here in Hebrews He's talking to, and just if you haven't heard this before, you might remember that Hebrews quotes the Old Testament over and over and over and over again. Dozens and dozens and dozens of direct quotes from the Old Testament because Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing to some Christians that should know their Old Testament. And oh, by the way, isn't that interesting that he's quoting the Old Testament? He must think they still have a good copy of it. Amen? And he quotes the Old Testament here in chapter 12 and verse 5, and he quotes Proverbs 3, 11 through 12. He says, you've forgotten this, that God told you already, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Now, that's what we call preaching the Word of God. Those aren't Paul's words, those are God's words. Amen? And don't you like it when God talks to you? I do. I like to know what God wants of me and has to say to me. And it's not always commandments. Sometimes it's promises. Sometimes it's encouragement. Sometimes it's reminders. But one of the reasons these folks were in jeopardy of chastening is because they had forgotten some things. They weren't familiar enough with the Word of God. And so he tells them, you need to remember what God said to you already. It's important that you accept the chastening of the Lord, not to despise it, verse 5, quoting again from Proverbs, not to faint. And that's at the end of verse 5, when thou art rebuked of him. And let me explain to you what that means, because it's a danger. When you realize that you have done wrong and that God has chastened you, the devil may come to you and say, well, see, you can't do it. Why don't you give up? Why don't you just quit trying? Because after all, you're a failure. You disobeyed God. He had to chasten you. He's going to have to do that again and again and again. Just don't even bother trying. Folks, the Bible never says give up. The Bible never says faint. It says faint not. In fact, one of my favorite verses, I quote it all the time to you, is, in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. Now, if there's a possibility of fainting, that must mean some things are difficult. We don't faint when we're comfortable sitting in the air conditioning, taking it easy. We faint when we are fatigued or when we are stressed or when we are tired or when we have been working. Just keep on, amen? Don't quit. He says, you've forgotten what God's already told you about this. Don't despise it. Don't faint. It is because of his love in verse 6, not because he is angry, but because of his love. It says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now, if you want to see one word there that jumps out, it's that word every. If you're a child of God, you're going to see some chastening. But that's okay, because that just means God loves you. Now, we've all been on the other side of that equation, because we told our children sometimes, I'm doing this because I loved you. And your children went, yeah, right. Didn't they? And, you know, if when my children get together and we have holidays, and it's been a long time since we've been able to do that, years now, but when my entire family's together over a holiday meal, inevitably the conversation turns to those times when they were getting punished. They laugh about it now. They didn't laugh about it then. They didn't like it when they were being chastened. Now he says, you've forgotten some things. Secondly here, he says in verse 7, if ye endure chastening. And then he says in verse 8, if ye be without chastisement. So there are two possibilities here. One of them is God chastens, and one of them is he's not chastening you. He says in verse 7, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Aren't you glad God's your Father? Amen. One of my favorite parts of the Lord's, or the model prayer we call it, is that first opening statement, our Father which art in heaven. When you pray, you're not praying to just somebody, you're praying to your Heavenly Father. A relationship has been established. You were adopted into His family. When you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, He gave you the ability, the power, the authority is the idea there, to become a child of God. And now you have a Father in heaven. If you've never been adopted into God's family, if you never have been saved, if you have rejected the gospel, maybe you've chosen some other plan. Maybe some church told you that what you need to do is believe in the saints, or maybe you've been told that you need to be baptized, or maybe you've been told that you need to do good works, or maybe you've been told that some priest on earth is going to forgive you for your sins, or maybe you've been told that Jesus is not the Son of God like the Jehovah's Witnesses believe, but just a good man, or maybe you just think that you're going to be good enough that your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, or I could name 10 other false gospels with no great effort here. If you've believed one of those and haven't been adopted into God's family yet, you're not a child of God. You're a child of the devil. And the Bible says you'll do the kind of things the devil does. His works will be your works. His lies will be your lies. But folks, God saved us from that. Amen? Don't misunderstand when God chastens you. That's the thought here. He does it because we're His children and He loves us. It's the right thing for Him to do. And folks, God always does what is right. And so He says, there's no father on earth that wouldn't chasten their child. There shouldn't be anyway. And he says, but in verse 8, if you're not being chastened, that's because you're not a child of God. And he uses a very harsh word there, and the word is that you're illegitimate. That you don't really have God as your father, you're just claiming that. You really have another father. Don't misunderstand, folks. When God chastens you, and he will, it's because he loves you and because you're his child. Amen? That's the way it ought to be. Now, thirdly, we go to verse 9. And he says, furthermore, he says, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Now, just a thought. When you discipline a child, the goal is to obtain submission. You're not trying to harm them, and just you certainly shouldn't do it in anger, but you're doing it because you want them to submit to your authority. And I can't go in. If you want to talk about proper discipline, sometimes we can help you with that. I can just tell you two or three things. Don't discipline your child in anger. Second, I should have said this first. It's important that you discipline your child, but not in anger. It should be something that happens and it's over. And then there's forgiveness. They have repented. You have forgiven, just like with God. The sin is forgotten. And now we have a good relationship again. That's the way God does it. Amen? And if you're going through something that takes a long, 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 long time, like years and years, or maybe like Job in the Old Testament, you need to understand that Job was not being chastened. Job was in a time of trial when the test was, why did he love God? And Satan was at the heart of that problem. If you're going through a long, long process of difficulty or burden or suffering or trial, that's not how God chastens, no more than we would not chasten our children for weeks or months at a time. It's an event and it's over with. But when God chastens you, he does that because you're his child. And he says, we need to give reverence to him in verse 9. He says, shall we not much rather be in subjection under the Father of spirits and live? You know why a lot of folks won't get saved? They don't want to obey God. They don't want to hear what God has to say. They've got their own plan for their life. They've got their sin that they like. They don't want to give that sin up. They don't want to give their life up. They want to do what they want to do. They don't want God to tell them what to do. That's why a lot of folks won't get saved. And by the way, the Bible doesn't teach a salvation that is void of obedience to God. You cannot be good enough to be saved, but you are saved unto good works. God saved us and gave us his spirit, not so we could keep living a wicked life and not be punished for it, but he gave us his spirit so we could be changed from our wicked ways. God wants to change us. The very same reason he chastens us. And he says here in verse 9, he says, be in subjection. In other words, don't rebel. We understand submission to an earthly father. It is God's holiness and his purpose for our life that we are being chastened towards. And we ought to be in subjection to that. He says in verse 10, verily for a few days our earthly fathers chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. It's good for us that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, I'm standing up here. I'm comfortable. Things are pretty fine. In the midst of chastening, it doesn't quite feel that way, does it? When you just got, I just use the terminology here. I don't want to be too crude, but when you just got spanked by God, it's not a pleasant thing. But the result is for our best. Amen? Y'all are awfully quiet today. I'm wondering if you're in trouble with God. Really, folks, do you understand how much God loves us? Do you know why some parents don't discipline their children? Because they don't care. The child gets caught doing something bad at school. The parents are too busy with their own life to worry about that child. They do nothing about it. The child is disobedient at home, and the parents are too busy with themselves, and they just leave the child to themselves. That's because the parent, in those cases, loves themselves so much, they don't care what happens to the child. Folks, God cares what happens to you and I. He's watching over us. We like it when God protects us, don't we? We like it when God provides for us, don't we? We like it when God heals us. We like it when God meets our needs and uses us, and we like it when God blesses us. We like it when the grace of God is evident in our life, because that's what one of the things that makes salvation so wonderful. It's not just that we're saved to stay out of hell, but we're saved in this life as well. We have a hope, and we have the Holy Spirit, and we have someone to pray to, and we have confidence in Him, and all those benefits. Well, folks, chastening is part of that. And when God has chastened you, I trust most of us here are mature enough Christians that we realize God chastened me, I learned from that, I'm not going to do that again. That's what He's saying to these folks here. It's for your profit. And then really quick, and I'm done, look at verse 11. Now, He says, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. It's not meant to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Here's the good news. There is an afterward, amen? There is something to look forward to. Now, everybody here that's got children, you'll know just what I'm talking about right now. If I ever punished my children, I had my eyes on the afterward. I didn't enjoy the chastening any more than they did, but I had my eyes on the afterward. And you know when the afterward is when they grow up. And now, as grown-ups, they do what's right because they were taught as children. You and I have an afterwards. God has a plan for our life, and it's a good plan. And I say that word with caution because a lot of folks misuse that idea. God has a plan for your life, and someone says, oh, good, He's going to make me rich. That's not God's plan for your life. God's plan is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. And you can do that and not have riches at all. You can do that and not even have health. In fact, some people that have the least money and the least health glorify God more than anybody else. But God has an afterwards in mind. And if we have trouble with the chastening of God, it's because we're too interested in ourselves and the here and now. Probably not a person here that's saved that wouldn't say, probably not many at least, that would not say that they'd like to lead a soul to Christ. Amen? I'd like to see a lot of folks get saved. I'd like to see the Lord use us to produce much fruit. Do you remember that tree in the New Testament that wasn't producing fruit? And the fellow that kept the tree says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to prune it. I'm going to dig around the roots. I'm going to cut some things off that tree that are not necessary. And then it'll produce fruit. What if God does that with you and I? We don't like it when God cuts things off, do we? We don't like it when God upsets our roots, our comfort zone. But if He did that so we could produce fruit, wouldn't that be a good thing? Let me finish with this thought. You and I are going to step into eternity if you are here and you are saved. Now let's start on the other side of that coin. If you're here and you're not saved, I'm not making this up. This is Bible. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. We're all going to die. And after this, the judgment. And the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And John chapter 1 says, if you have the Son, that you are a child of God. Because if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have given the power to become the sons of God. But John 3:36 says it this way. If you receive Him, there's no condemnation, but if you receive Him not, you're condemned already. And so what the Bible says to be absent from the body for a saved person is to be present with the Lord. But the person that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, like the rich man in Luke 16, the Bible says this, he lift up his eyes in hell, being in torments in this flame. Someone says, I don't believe there's a hell. You will. Someone says, I don't believe that I need to ask Jesus to save me. You know, I heard the phrase one time, don't believe all that religious stuff. It's not religious stuff, it's just Bible, amen? Because I agree that religious stuff has very little value, but what God says has a lot of value. And if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord for all eternity, amen? And when you get there, if you're here today and you are saved, when you get there, this is a metaphorical thing here, but you're going to look back over your life and you're going to see all those things that you didn't do for God, and there's going to be no eternal value in them. Wasted time. And you're going to prayerfully have many things in your life that please the Lord Jesus Christ and that receive a reward and that are worthy of what He did for you, which is die on the cross to pay for your sin. I guarantee you, when we get to heaven, you come to me and we'll talk about this. I guarantee you, when you get there, you're going to wish you'd done more for Him. And on those times, during those times when God chastened you so that you would do more for Him, when you step into eternity, you're going to be ever so thankful. Lord, thank you for protecting me from that wicked road I tried to go down. Lord, thank you for protecting me from those foolish things I was seeking. Lord, thank you for keeping me on the path so that I could spend my life telling others about Christ and glorifying Him and living for Him and thinking about Him. And Lord, thank you for keeping me from disaster. Just like our children who grow up and they come back home and they say, Mom or Dad, thank you for raising us the way we ought to be raised. It's the very same thing. I hope none of us here are in line for any chastening in the near future. I expect all of us know what I'm talking about in the past. But folks, it's part of God's love. Aren't you glad God loves you? He loves you more than you can possibly understand. Aren't you glad God's your Father? He's a better Father than any other there ever has been. And that includes the fact that He'll correct us when we don't do what's right. And thank Him for that. Let it work. Don't faint. Don't resent it. Don't walk away from it. Let Him do what He wanted to do, and then keep on going. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.